This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, I'm Manny Feldel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Lovely Saturday afternoon. Good to be with you here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. As I promised, I have a superstar in my studio this week. The Grampians Grape Escape Festival was launched, the 25th Grampians Grape Escape. I need to be very clear that I'm a board member, so there is an interest in the escape. It's a not-for-profit role, so you know my behaviour is all above board. I have done this in years past as well, so let's just make that all very clear. The important stuff is out the way. The festival ambassador for this year, the chef ambassador, he is somebody we've had the pleasure of meeting before, and I'm delighted to have him in the studio again. Miguel Maestro, welcome.
Hola, hola, ¿cómo estás? I love your little ad when Manu's voice was advertising it. And probably my accent is a little bit thicker, so I don't think anybody is going to understand anything of this interview.
Well, we'll just have to speak nice and slowly. Of course, people will know you, I guess, mostly of late from the living room. How does a chef become a TV star?
Well, I'm not a TV star. I'm just a humble chef trying to make a living. Come on, I hate that TV star and celebrity crap.
Well, haven't you been nominated for a Logie?
Yeah, we actually won a Logie last year, so we won it. But
Makes you a bona fide TV star in Australia.
It's just, I believe, you know, cooking has got so many paths that you can follow. And, you know, it's very hard to have five jobs at the same time. So I make my choice when the living room come on board and dedicate full time to my media career. And yes, it's working fantastic for me.
Excellent.
How can you be in the restaurant cooking and in TV working?
Well, it works for others.
I just can't do it. I'm just a simple man. I like to cook paellas. And if I don't have the time to cook paellas, I'm just in the TV entertaining you.
Excellent. So can we look forward to Miguel in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
No way. No way.
Why not, my friend?
Do you really? I can't. I got two little children. I need to spend time with them. And, you know, I got a job. And
you could be like Warnie out there having a couple of ciggies.
You know, if I was in that show, I'd be all the time trying to hunt some rabbits or something, because I'll be really hungry. I'll be looking in the bush, trying to hunt everything is alive to put it in the stove.
Exactly. So, how did the living room come about? Because there was, you know, there's a whole stack of chefs that could have been chosen. Did you have to screen test for it, or did they just say we want you?
So they called me, obviously, for the production company, WDFN. That does other well-known shows like Bon Appétit. And they said, Miguel, we have a screen test. We need to make sure that you're the right person for this job. And they seat me in a room with Amanda Keller.
Yes.
Dr. Chris.
Yeah, the gringo.
And Barry Dubois.
Yes.
And we sit in this room and we start to get topics. People ask us things about life, and we were all so different, but we just click. It was like glue as soon as we walk in the room. And, you know, I didn't know that I was going to get the job, because I was quite, you know, I thought maybe another really famous chef's get this job.
Well, somebody who can actually has a command of the English language.
And they say, in 2 weeks, we'll give you a call.
Yep.
And the next day they called me, and it was one of the most exciting days of my life. Mm-hmm. They said, Miguel, we want you to be a part of the team. And, you know, from there to now, we were that small show on Friday nights, and now we are the living room.
And it's a fantastic show, and you get to work with very cool people. I think Amanda Keller is, and there's a reason she's the highest paid female radio star in this country, because I think she is a genius. She's very funny. And she appeals to a whole lot of the middle ground as far as her sense of humor goes. She's very sharp. Is she good fun to work with?
She's very snappy. She's very fast. She's funny. She's got the gift of television, the gift of radio. She's a great mother. And, you know, Amanda, since I started working in the living room, I learned so much about, like, just TV itself, like and how to work in a group and how to present things and how to be yourself. Amanda is an amazing mentor almost to follow up in this TV career. And, you know, he's just an amazing woman. She'll be always the same in front of the camera, off the camera, on the microphone, on the wireless. Like, She is bulletproof, and she's an inspiration for me to take after. It's pretty amazing.
She is a cracking woman, and I've had the pleasure of meeting her a number of times in the past. She's just whip sharp. The moment you throw something in front of her, and I think the Gringo's little romance that he's having in Africa is a little bit the same. Julia, she's also very sharp. You formed a really there's a wonderful bromance between you and Chris.
So Gringo and I, you know, if I tell you the first trip we ever done when we went to South America that we didn't know anything about each other, and the last trip we did to Canada is absolutely totally different. Gringo is one of my best mates. He knows my family. My family loves him. He's a great guy. It's like we met in a computer program. He's a good-looking guy. He's tall. He's intelligent.
Yeah, I know.
He's eloquent. He's really fit.
And he's super funny.
He's everything I am not. And that's why we're such a compliment. We compliment each other in such a many different ways. And since I met Gringo, this is very special, very romantic. Since I met Gringo, my life changed. Since I met him, we discovered this really good vibrancy that we were together. Mm. And, you know, it just works for us. But don't forget about Barry. Barry's hair.
Well, that's just where I was going to, because whilst you and Gringo have your bromance and Amanda's just flirting with you all, there sits Barry, who is almost this strange voice of reason in amongst the four of you.
Barry is the most inspiring person ever. He's a story of success. He's a strong person, but Barry's got the best hair in the business.
He does.
That hair is like 25% of our budget in the show goes to fix that hair every day.
Really?
Six people work full time making sure that every wave is just perfect. When they're going to tell you a story, please, I need to tell you something. Like when we have one of the Barry's friends from his youth, they came to watch the studio.
Yeah.
And out of the surprise, we asked him, how was Barry when he was younger? And they told us that Barry's nickname was Barry Blow Wave, because his hair was just like Bondi Beach, just like a wave.
That's very, very funny. So you obviously all gel as a team, and how much input do you just, how much of the decision making do you get to put forward for the food segment?
Oh, like we got an amazing team. Virginia is our executive producer, and Phil Tanner is our series producer. And we got a lot of producers that we all brainstorm together, like Lisa, we got Anita, James, and the cameraman. We all work as a solid team. So I come up with an idea, or the researchers will come with an idea, and we'll slowly chew, and we making sure that it's going to be fun, that it's going to be information, and at the end of the day, we just do the story, and it's the team that makes the show. So I'm just the guy in front of the camera. It's like our producers, our cameramen like Toby and Phil, our soundies, Jason, and, you know, Jimmy Gentle Fingers.
Sounding remarkably like a Logie's acceptance speech.
Because we just, it's terrible. Like, always everybody takes the credit. In, you know, our part in the show is just being the face.
And we're like the puppets.
Yeah, yeah. And bring you know, the spice a little bit to the recipe. But it's a lot of components to the recipe, and that people make a great show.
Do you miss running restaurants? Do you miss being in that sort of cut and thrust of a kitchen where there is the pressure? I'm reading a book at the moment by Grant Achatz, the chef from Alania in Chicago. Half of his decision-making was around that sort of very intense, very exciting part of a food service that you do at lunch or dinner or breakfast.
12 to 3, 6 to 9.
Exactly. Or maybe even later. Do you miss that part of your career, or is this next part the perfect sort of follow-on?
I miss it every day. Like, I've done it for 17 years of my life. You put my cooking career versus my TV career, my cooking career is bigger. But, like, the thing is, you fill that gaps with something else. I miss service. I can still hear the docking machine on Saturday nights when I go to sleep. Like, I can still hear that. I can still feel useless on Sunday when I'm not doing the ordering at home. It's weird. It's really when I'm not writing the rosters. But you fill that gaps with something different. You fill that gaps with my new business or my import-export business, or you fill that gaps with my family, like my kids, or you fill that gaps with, you know, more cooking demonstrations, going to the Grampians. Like, you fill that gaps with different things. So you're still cooking, but I don't miss it. You know, you this that adrenaline, that routine, that style of life, you do
it's
all
so
your life.
It's so much a part of what you do.
Yeah.
Do you still eat really quickly?
No, I'm actually like a really, I like to cook something, I'm not such a good eater when I'm eating with everyone because I've been eating for a whole hour
cooking. Yeah, yeah, I'm
so,
the same.
So when I arrive, I say, Miguel, you're not having anything. I think, you know, actually ate more than you.
I just sort of wondered, my husband is a chef. I'm a chef by trade. We eat really quickly. Like, we do these things really quickly because in hospitality time, you only have 6 minutes or 8 minutes or 10 minutes, somewhere between a lunch service, a mise en place, and dinner service to eat. So I still eat quickly. He eats far more quickly than I do. Do you have little habits like that you just can't get rid of?
Well, I cannot get rid of my tidiness. I'm a little bit of a clean freak.
Yeah,
so I'll be scrubbing. No, sometimes Sasha, my wife, is like, Miguel, what are you doing? I just cook something like a pie in the oven, and I just pulling apart the whole oven, scrubbing, you know, and I'm cleaning, and Sasha is like, you just cook some scrambled eggs, and I'm just pulling apart the whole place, and just, I like things clean, tidy.
And that's another habit, though, from running kitchens, that you have to leave the kitchen clean because you may not be the next person that cooks in it.
Yeah, I love it. White, clean, shiny, beautiful. Just a little bit of freak, yeah.
No, that's okay. Miguel Maestri is my guest. He is, of course, from The Living Room on Channel 10. You can sit with him and enjoy his food every Friday night with Amanda Keller, Barry Dubois, and the lovely Dr. Chris Brown.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Miguel Maestri is my guest. He is, of course, from The Living Room on Channel 10. You mentioned you've now got an import-export business. I think it's Maestri Fine Foods.
Maestri Family Foods, yeah.
So you're importing foods from Spain?
From Spain. So my dad works as the main person overseas, and we have like a range of paella kits. We have sangria. We have the real products from Spain. Manchego cheese. We just launched four different cheese. Murcia Albino, the goat cheese with the red wine. We got semi-curado cheese. We even have like a lactose-free produce from the south of Spain. Oh, fantastic. Really, really good.
Sorry,
with flavor.
He's clearly seen my face.
I know, you still see it. It's like, oh, lactose-free. But it's a big part of, you know, I have a dream once to bring a little bit of Spain in every Australian home. And this is, in this country is so beautiful, the dreams do come
true.
And
I imagine you can't do that physically, so you've got to do it with your food.
Yeah, so it's, if, you know, I get photos, people send me, you know, a photo, I just cook your paella tonight. And that, for me, very powerful. That's more powerful than cook for 300 people in the restaurant. It's a big picture and helping, you know, my country and putting a little bit of Spain in Australia.
Where did your love of food come from? How did you start? Was it a grandmother who had you by her knee, pulling the apron strings? You know, there so many chefs have romantic stories, and I'm curious about yours and how you came to kitchens.
You would not believe what was the detonant of like the career.
Excellent.
You would not believe it. So I wanted to become a chef. I love my grandmother. Have a great farm. My mom is a good cook. I wanted to cook, but my mom wanted me to study a degree, so I do something useful with my life. So my brothers, they got a degree, and I obviously wanted to be a chef, so I wanted to prove everybody wrong, and I went overseas when I was 18, and I became a chef in the UK.
Were you in Scotland?
Yeah, I didn't speak one word of English.
That's why it's so hard to understand.
That's why my accent. I learned English in a Scottish kitchen.
Oh, good Lord.
And I left with nothing, just like a suitcase full of dreams and a really big smile and really happy to just do what I wanted to do. And that was a long time ago. I was 18, I'm 36 now. I live in Australia. Look at the way it's been, just full of surprises.
Has that been the key to your success? And I don't want to disrespect your ability, but has having, because you have a personality and you have that great big smile, has that made things easier for you? Has it opened doors for you?
Well, I think the point of difference, I think it's out there 1,000 chefs, 10,000 chefs, 100,000 chefs better than me. But I believe, you know, I love what I do, and that relationship, love of what I do, and don't be scared in the camera to transmit that love to people at home, is helping me a lot. I've never been shy. I don't know what it feels to be in front of 1,000 people and being shy or something. And I think that's my biggest strength. I love cooking. I don't think I'm a great chef. I think I'm just a really humble, simple guy that likes basic Spanish cuisine. I work in top restaurants. I work in normal bistros. I've been in El Bulli with Fernand Adrià. I've been as the best. And I've been, you know, in a normal place doing garlic prawns. So I don't think of myself as a you know, I'm the best, and everything like that. But I love people, and that's the key, I think, the communication with people. Surprisingly, nobody understands anything I'm saying. Communication is the key to success.
It's actually very easy to understand you, because you there's so much passion in, and it's... I've had this related to me by a couple of other people. When you hear somebody talk about what it is that they love, that thing that just gets them out of bed in the morning, there is a different tone in your voice when you talk about food. Perhaps when, as if you talk about, you know, driving a car or
love, like you're driving.
Yeah. You'll leave my driving out of this, please. My driving has nothing to do with this conversation at all. So there is a very clear passion or a very clear desire to express your love of what you do through what you do. Has having children changed that for you?
Oh, like, I just, you know, I'm learning by the day. Like, I have my kids. I never thought I was ready to have kids. I got a four-year-old daughter that is already telling me what to do.
She's telling you about ingredients.
Yeah, I used to run a kitchen with 12 chefs, and everybody say, yes, chef. And now I go home, and I am nobody. My daughter will tell me what to do. And I got Morgan, is 18 months. And having kids is sort of way helping me to be more responsible and more conscious of our life. But it's bringing me to be a little bit more of a kid than what I was before. So it's keeping me quite young, and I quite like it.
You were telling me a story earlier about your wife making pizza on a pre-prepared pita bread, and your four-year-old...
So we make the dough. Yeah. So we make the dough from scratch. So I get Claudia, we get the flour, the yeast, and we'll mix it all together, put olive oil, and we let it raise. And Claudia learned all that from scratch. So I go away for the living room for a weekend, and Sasha cook a pizza for Claudia. And it's just a pita bread, put some tomato sauce, and put some cheese. And Claudia say, Papa makes this much fresher, and I get to roll the pizza, and it doesn't have any olive oil. And Sasha is looking at me thinking, you just created this monster. What are you doing?
Yeah. Are you setting Claudia and your son to a lesser degree up now for their future?
Yeah, well, I think cooking is a very important part of who we are. And you are what you eat. So we need to start loving good food. And nothing that comes from your really early ages. Mm. So if you don't have that culture and that education or love food, you don't get told that when you're little, you will never have it. So I'm trying to make sure that they like to eat good things, that they respect food, that they don't take it for granted. And when they have something nice, they really embrace it.
Do you have a garden in your house where you grow vegetables?
Yeah, I got a heap of lemons. I'm quite boring. I got lemons, tomatoes. I love like fresh herbs. Yeah. So I got lots of tarragon, rosemary, heaps of parsley. I'm the kind of guy like cooking something and I go out. Just get a handful and just put it in. Oh, I love that. That's like great.
Well, it's how we should be doing it. And it's how it's been done for millennia. So it makes perfect sense.
I'm dying to have a chicken, but my wife hates it.
Chickens?
I love to have chickens in the house.
So go and get fresh eggs.
No, Sasa would not handle it. It'll be doing poo-poo in the deck.
That's the problem you have living on the very fancy North Shore. Let's talk a little bit. So the Grampians Grape Escape, you're the ambassador chef for the festival in 2016, the 25th Grampians Grape Escape. Why did you say yes to going out to Central Victoria?
I'm just so happy. First thing, I'm so happy that I got to do a show that is the same age as me, 25 years old.
Correct.
This is great.
Yeah.
This is one of the great things. We just feel really identified with each other. But I love doing live cooking demonstration. It's my passion. I love people. And what I say yes is because I know it's a lot of very passionate people like me. They're going to be there. It's a big thing to help as well the area, to bring people from Melbourne that's still going for holidays to Bali and to places they're not really that great, and just appreciate how good is the Victoria country and just enjoy the best Shiraz or enjoying like the sheep's milk yogurt or enjoy the producers that are there telling you eat this, eat that. That's priceless. And, you know, just driving for 3 hours and feeling that, you know, country feeling. So I say yes because I feel very identified with this kind of events.
Yeah.
I feel that I can do something funny, and through something funny, people can get a message. I think a laugh is a very powerful weapon. You know, I think the 100 grams of sugar, 100 grams of this, and everybody falling asleep is not good.
No.
I think you cooking, the message of cooking needs to be vibrant, needs to be crazy, needs to be loud, so people take it home and they remember it. And I love these cooking demonstrations because I could do like a live cooking demo, blindfold myself, trying to make a mayonnaise with four people, make a mess, and people remember that that's how you do a mayonnaise.
Mm. It's also how you're giving people experiences that they're not going to have anywhere else.
And remember it, like, it's memories. You know, food creates memories, and we have shows like this. In Australia, we're very lucky. We do a lot of regional cooking. And if we can create, you know, a habit of people every year to know that this is the weekend, this is what we had to go, it's good for everyone.
Mm.
And serious cooking, there's a lot of serious cooking out there.
There's too much serious cooking.
Serious cooking is like, oh, really? Like, it's so much serious cooking you can have. So it's a lot of serious things in life already. To make cooking a serious thing.
Well, we've got to pay tax and we've got to...
And that's very serious.
pay a mortgage and we've got to do all that. There is a lot of serious stuff. And I think being able to be a part of something where you can enjoy, as you do, you know, an interaction with somebody that you only see on TV. And for many people, that's, you know, you could be the highlight of their month, their year, their life.
But you break the ice. What I love the most is you break the... The TV is in front of you. When some people watch in the living room, it's a TV in front of them. When you're in a live cooking demonstration, that's like the real arena. That's like where the gladiator go outside and all the people is there screaming. And that's when you get to feel what people think about you, how they approach your food, and how they... Some people really... you make the day. You get some guy, I always say, who is the worst cook in the audience? And it's like four or five ladies that really want to go and say, me.
Or,
and they're like,
him,
no.
Him, yeah.
So I choose the guy who's hiding in the corner and never cook anything. And get that guy that's very bad talking to people and cook a mayonnaise or cook anything, a paella. And that second when you see the face of somebody really, that's worth the whole world for me. Mm. And that's what I do it.
Is there anything that you're scared of? Apart from my driving.
And I'm scared of your driving pretty much.
Most people are.
It's pretty full on. For everybody who's listening, I think Biggs will be rally driving, maybe. So will be applying. Him and Grand Denias will have a team together. Thing that scared me the most is lose the people I love. Like, I'm not scared of anything. The older I'm getting, the more, you know, the more protective of my people. The thing that scares me the most is don't be able to provide for that people like hey, everything else, you know, it's, you know, I'm not scared. I've been jumping in South Africa with the sharks or in North Territory with a huge crocodile and all the crazy things that we do with the living room. But the people I love, I'm very scared. You know, lose them. And my mom and dad lives very far away, so I call them every day and I'm very scared
of
that.
Your parents every day.
Yeah. When I'm driving to work, I put them in FaceTime, and my dad will be always calling in the wrong time. So it'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning. And my dad is in his pajamas. He's like, what are you talking about? I'll tell you a funny story, please. You know, in the loggies, this year in the loggies, you're talking about the loggies, I got my dad in Skype.
Yep.
So the loggies are in the afternoon. So that's just in the morning in Spain. And my dad just got out of bed in his undies. So, you know, it's summer in Spain,
it's warm, yeah.
You know, Spanish man, hairy chest, happy man. So, and I'm walking in the red carpet with my mobile so my dad can see what's happening. And as soon as you walk in the lobby, it's that media wall when everybody's taking photos. And I hear one of the photographers, who is that naked man in his undies? Because I got the phone looking at ads, and my dad was in his undies.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. We all like to leave a legacy, and I wonder what do you want to be your legacy? So you've been a chef and you've inspired other people to cook. You've got two beautiful children. You have a business that allows you the freedom to do what you want to do. You have a highly successful TV show. What do you, when you, in a long time away because you're only 25, but when you shuffle off... When you shuffle off, what do you want people to sort of look back and remember you for?
Oh, I never look at life in that way. I'm just, you know, I'm not really, I don't believe in greatness. I don't think, you know.
I'm not suggesting greatness. We all have something that is going to be our legacy.
Oh, I want my kids to remember me like the way, you know, the way that was there for them. And it was then supporting them and it was along the way. You know, helping them to have a beautiful life. I don't really believe in, you know, it's, you know, I don't see life as that. I just live, you know, like in the moment. I never have that really deep thoughts of future. I don't think of people remember me. I'm just a, Spanish chef that lives in Australia. I'm just really like, I don't see myself. I hope everybody remembers me in the way that, you know, Miguel was always there for me. And, you know, I'm trying to be anywhere else and nobody
you
else.
You want to be remembered as somebody who's kind.
Yeah, somebody very simple. Yeah. No, as a, don't ever say that word as a celebrity chef. That's going to make me puke.
I call you all food media personalities because celebrity chef is oxymoronic for me. You're cooking food. You're not performing brain surgery.
It's terrible.
And I know that there are some of your
lives.
I know that there's some of your peers because there's what 20 of you that.
It's very few of us in this industry. You know, very few. That's the job that we do.
And so, you know, obviously the three boys from MasterChef.
Yeah.
The other two from My Kitchen Rules. Maggie's doing something with Matt on baking.
Yeah, you got to get bake off.
Fastenage is doing MKR now with Rachel Koo.
Yeah. It's a little circle.
Who else is there?
You got SBS, you got all the Shane and Peter Kurubita. And
yeah.
You got Luke Nguyen, that does a great job as well. And... you know, Adam Liao as well, working SBS. Well,
not technically a chef.
You know, it's people that work in the industry, you know, so...
So it's quite a small pool. I guess you add Karen Martini to the mix because she's doing...
And Buzz Eddie. You're going to let Buzz Eddie out of there.
And Hell Maggie, you've got to have him on the list.
Of course.
So there's not a big pool of you, I guess.
It's very few. And
Lindy Milan, we can't forget Lindy.
Oh, please. You know,
and kill us.
I know, but like, it's a strong character as well. You know, it's very. I met Lindy many times, and when I first met Lindy, I was just nobody knew who I was, and she's always been very supportive and respectful of what I do. I believe it's a small circle, it's like a little family, and we all so different, and it's quite funny to spend time with each other because we are so different in so many ways, and it's funny.
I can imagine. Miguel, it's always a joy to catch up with you. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Pleasure.
GrampiansGrapeEscape.com.au is where you will find tickets for the Grampians Grape Escape. It's on the 30th of April and the 1st of May. Miguel will be there as the ambassador chef. You'll catch him in cooking demonstrations for both days.
Yeah, but if I'm still alive, you drive me to the airport.
Yeah, you'll get to the airport. Yes, GrampiansGrapeEscape.com.au. You can go to watch The Living Room on Channel 10 Friday night at 7:30 with Amanda Keller, Barry Dubois, and, of course, Dr. Chris Brown. And they're very lovely and they're very garrulous, Mr. Miguel Maestro. Good to see you again.
Muchas gracias, amigo. Thank you. You do a great job.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.